Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Songhai Nation, welcome to the show. QT and Songhai back with you here on another Friday afternoon, first Friday of 2017. Normally, I would give you show notes if you're looking for pro wrestling, but due to the inclement weather all over the map, lots of shows being canceled and postponed. So if you think there's wrestling near you, definitely check. Make sure there's going to be a show. I can confirm WCWO running at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis tonight, but with a change in lineups. Tomorrow night, Emerge and Hoosier Pro Wrestling running in Columbus, Indiana. And lineups, I believe, intact as far as we know right now. But like I said, check, double check, and make sure the shows are going to take place because there's a lot of weather shenanigans out there. Oh, I would like to bring to you our guest today. Incredibly, his first time with us, we have multi-time champion in a variety of promotions, former member of the Halftime Hustlers, the role model member himself, Kane Jaden. Kane, welcome to the program.
Saw, dude.
Well, since today is your first time with us, you get the first-timer's question to start. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, to answer that in a very simple way, I was born from the seed of one DeMarcus James. And that pretty much started it.
That is very true, second generation. Now, at what point in your life did you decide this is the road you wanted to go down as far as your career went?
That's a really good question, actually, because, you know, I've been watching it my whole life and everything, like, it, I don't know why, but wrestling was the one thing that just clicked for me. And I think it was, like, when I was, like, 12, maybe, that I really had decided that this is what I wanted to do.
Now, late last year, you suffered a pretty horrific hand injury that kept you out of in-ring competition for a while. But ever since that injury to this day, you have had on a protective cast on that hand. Do you think that you are going to be your generation's Cowboy Bob Orton Jr.?
I actually thought that I was going to for a little while, but last week at NWA BCW in that six-man ladder match, I bent it. I bent the protective brace.
Now, I take some doing. Is the hand in any danger should you go braceless?
Well, I think I went braceless a few weeks back, actually, and it didn't actually hurt that bad. It was going just fine. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe my hand is fully rehabbed.
While you were on the shelf, one of the duties that you held at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling was that of ring announcing. To my knowledge, it was the first time you had performed that function. What was it like going from active wrestler to the ring announcer at the NWA Blue Collar shows?
Going from an active wrestler to a ring announcer was kind of easy for me, but a little weird at the same time because I'm I struggle with promos, but somehow I managed to have all sorts of charisma when I was doing the ring announcing. So it was a fun little challenge for a little bit, and then I kind of got used to it, but, you know, wrestling's still my thing.
I don't know if you've ever considered it. Some people ring announce while they wrestle.
Yes.
Like, I'd have to be my own personal ring announcer?
I've seen it done on shows.
This might have to be something I do at some point.
I won't confirm or deny that I myself have done it. Now, being that you are relatively young in your career yet, less than 5 years experience, and you yet to hit your 18th birthday, obviously you've been given advice along the way, as most veterans will give advice to younger wrestlers. What's some of the best advice that's been given to you thus far?
Well, to start, tuck your chin. You know, but
you're welcome for that, by the way.
On a serious note, though, I think the best advice I've ever received so far was probably from Kelly Klein at the seminar with her and BJ Whitmer back in, like, August, I think. And she told us basically to not be afraid to have the best match on the card, like, no matter where you are. Like, doesn't matter if you're opening or if you're the main event or if you're just somewhere in the middle. If you go out there and give it 110%, those people are going to give you 110%. That English. I'm speaking all fast and whatnot. I get a little excited, but you know.
Kelly Klein can do that to a kid. Now, that is good advice, and you mentioned the Kelly Klein and BJ Whitmer seminar. I know that you've attended a few seminars. When someone like yourself that doesn't have but just 3 or 4 years experience and someone at your age goes to these seminars, what is it that you're looking to get out of the seminars, and do you feel like, by and large, the ones that you've attended have given you that?
Basically, what I look to, like, receive from these seminars is their knowledge, pretty much. I want to know what makes them how they are and how they got where they are. Like, for instance, BJ Whitmer and Kelly Klein came from Ring of Honor. I want to know what got them to Ring of Honor. And same with the upcoming Cody Rhodes seminar. I know he's not with WWE anymore, but I want to know how he got there, and I want to know how he got to New Japan, and basically what makes him able to go out to all these bigger places and do all these great things.
All those seminars that you've attended, do you feel like you're getting some of that knowledge, or are the seminars out here still a little bit behind as far as what some of the wrestlers might be trying to get out of them?
I feel like it's been kind of like even between some of them, but for the most part, I've pretty much got what I've been looking for. Now it's just a matter of trying to apply it to myself and making it work.
That's always the trick. You mentioned how you struggle with promos. You've not had a great deal of experience with promos yet, but what have you been doing to try to improve that aspect of your performance?
Well, this may come off as a little weird, but usually after I shower, I'll stand in the mirror for about a good, like, maybe 5 to 10, and not really say anything, but, like, I'll go through thoughts in my head of just various promos and various, like, facial expressions and everything that I can do, and it may work, it may not. I haven't really experienced much with the promos yet, but I'm definitely looking to change that in this new year.
Helps to just go out there and be under the gun sometimes as well.
That's very true.
One of the things that you have accomplished throughout your career is you've been a part of several different tag teams. You've won several different tag team titles. You've also won the occasional singles title in your career. For your own personal preferences, do you like doing tag teams versus singles or vice versa, or does it matter to you at this point?
Lately I've been appreciating tag matches quite a bit, and I think it's just a lot more fun when you're able to go in there with more people and make magic. That's, like, singles matches are great, and I feel like I had a decent singles run, but there's just something about tag matches that really I enjoy.
When you're going into a tag team match, do you find yourself with a different type of mindset as far as what you need to do to accomplish your goals rather than if you're going in there in just a singles match?
Not really. It's like, I mean, the roles are pretty much the same as, you know, in the matches. You're just dealing with two more people and trying to figure out how to get everybody collectively involved. But at the same time, there is a slight difference. It's nothing really major, but there's definitely like a few things that need to be considered.
Most definitely. Last Sunday, you were in the aforementioned ladder match with several different members of the NWA Blue Collar Wrestling roster. One of those people was Big Vicious. He is a very, very large man. I know you have wrestled him. Would he be the largest opponent that you've ever had?
Largest in as far as height or, like, just in general?
Just in general.
I would have to say it's a toss-up between him and the Butcher. Oh, wait, you know what? No, scratch that. I know who it is. When I went out to Wisconsin with my tag partner, Aries, we did a match against American Violence, and one of those members of American Violence was this guy called Sadist, and I can't even begin to describe how big this guy is.
When you go in there with guys that are that big, the Sadist, Big V, Butcher, guys like that, and you're generally speaking the smallest guy on the roster, what's going through your head when you're paired up with these guys?
Most of the time, it's how am I going to defeat these guys? But, you know, there's a simple strategy to taking out big guys. Most of the time, you just go for the leg. Doesn't really work sometimes, but we're not going to discuss why it doesn't work.
Sometimes you just have to waffle a guy with something, too. I found that to be pretty effective.
Yes. Sometimes a good solid kick to the mouth is all they need. It's just a matter of getting your foot up there.
That works from pretty much anybody because everybody's got a mouth.
Yup.
On the flip side of that, I know you've been in there with a lot of cruiserweights. Some promotions have cruiserweight divisions where you've competed. Who's been the smallest opponent that you've had?
The smallest opponent that I've had. I don't know. I'm not really used to being in there with somebody that's smaller. Well, I know he's not smaller than me, but I think maybe CJ.
I could see that. Now, CJ, I believe, has a couple of inches and about 15 pounds on Hayashi. You've also wrestled him as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, that is definitely Hayashi.
Now, on this show, we have a game that we like to play. It's a little bit of a psychological game called Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I will ask you a series of two options, and the one that you prefer is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Pile driver or DDT?
Ooh. Pile driver or DDT? As much as I love pile drivers, I think I'm going to have to go with DDTs. I like a good DDT.
Pinfall or submission?
Probably pinfall.
William Regal or Lord Steven Regal?
Definitely William Regal.
Tombstone or Red Baron?
Red Baron. Red Baron.
Zubaz or Tap Out Gear?
You know, I think I'm almost impartial on this one because I don't have either.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Okay.
Milk or apple juice?
Apple juice. Milk.
Falls Count Anywhere or Lumberjack Match?
Falls Count Anywhere with Lumberjacks.
I like what you did there.
Yes.
Triple A or Promo Azteca?
We'll go with Triple A.
The final one, Eugene Dinsmore or Greg Valentine?
Eugene Dinsmore.
I see. All right. Now, one of the things that you did early in your career was you made a guest appearance on the gigantic 100th episode of The Sign of the Times. In that episode, you said you had never faced the franchise Troy Miller before. Has that changed since episode 100 took place?
Nope. I have not wrestled Troy Miller. That has not happened.
I'll throw out there that he is the current reigning and defending Heroes and Legends Cruiserweight Champion.
That sounds pretty amazing, actually.
It really is. Now, on that same episode, you were bleeding all over the place. You'd been busted open by one mean Mark Ferguson. I have not encountered it personally since then, but have you had much experience in being busted wide open since that night?
Yes. There was a match with my father that... this is going to sound really horrible, but there was a match with my father that took place in Blue Collar Wrestling, and it was me and him strapped together by a dog collar. And on top of that, they took belts, not even like leather belts, but like those dollar store ones that are like cloth. They took those and strapped them to the ropes. And it was a dog collar strap match.
I have not officiated one of those in the Pacific Northwest, but I do have experience with a dog collar match with Kerry Offal, who at the time was a dog.
I don't even
really
know
happened.
How to respond. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Neither did I, and I was in the match. Now, obviously, one of the things that is very important to any professional wrestler is maintaining their ring conditioning through diet and exercise. you're still at an age where your body is going to continue to grow, get bigger and stronger. What have you been incorporating into the diet and exercise regimen to be able to maintain your ring shape?
My diet is probably the worst diet any pro wrestler has ever had, ever. So I'm embarrassed about that, so I'm not going to discuss that. It mostly consists of pizza, because pizza is amazing. But anyway, as far as exercise goes, I rarely lift. I do a lot of calisthenics, and I ride my bike everywhere.
I've never seen you ride a bike to the ring.
Why would I ride a bike to the ring?
Well, because you said you rode it everywhere.
Well, not literally everywhere, figuratively.
All right. And was it worse than Buddy Highway's diet from, say, 2 years ago?
It might be equal with Buddy Highway's diet from 2 years ago.
I would recommend getting your cholesterol checked in that case. Now, one of the people that has been seen throughout your entire career from day one, SCW Hall of Fame member Bob Hardy, he's been very vocal in a variety of your matches. When you're in the ring, what's it like having Bob Hardy right in your ear?
At first, like in like the first couple of years, I had no idea how to handle it. It was very distracting, I guess you could say. But now I've gotten used to it, and I'm kind of able to tone it out slightly.
Now, discounting Bob Hardy, everybody's got that first moment when they're approached for an autograph or a picture for the first time. The first time that happened, what was going through your mind?
The first time an autograph, somebody asked for mine, I think what went through my head was like, hey, somebody actually wants my autograph?
Now, you were what, maybe 14, 15 at the time?
I think I actually might have been 13 at the time.
As a 13-year-old, and people are coming up wanting your autograph, what's that do ego-wise? Does that put you a little bit higher than what is safe for having an ego at that point? Did you have to be brought back down to reality a couple of weeks after that?
No, not really. I think lately my ego has kind of been like getting up there, but I'm trying to keep it under control. Back then it was like I was super humble. I need to get back to my roots.
Yeah, I'd recommend that before you hit the road.
Right.
We have a second game on the show that we enjoy to play here. One of QT's very favorites, we call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some various people that you most likely have come across in your career. The first word or two that pops into your head to describe them is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
Wait, what were the rules one more time?
I will throw out the names of some people that you have come across in your career. First word or two that pops into your head is the answer.
Okay.
All right, now keep in mind there's no wrong answers per se, so nothing to be nervous about unless you bury someone and they shoot on you later. But what are the odds? All right, here we go. First one, Kevin Sullivan.
WCW.
Sunny Days.
Lots of Hugs.
Crashella.
My God.
Randy Zellers.
My former tag partner.
Casey Carlisle.
She's all right.
Hayashi.
One of the best opponents I've faced.
Paul Moonshine.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not going to say that because that'd be mean.
T-Rex.
One of the best officials I know. Other than Sign Guy, of course.
Wow. All right. Roy Lovejoy.
One of the best ring announcers I know.
Big Vicious.
Choke Slam.
Randy the Pimp Taylor.
The Pimp.
Phantasma.
X. Pun intended.
And the final one, HBQ Quiz.
A very knowledgeable person.
All right, that wrapped up Word Association. Mm-hmm. I referenced this during Word Association here, but you've been to a lot of places early on in your career, Oregon, Washington, California, Wisconsin, may have missed a couple spots. So you've come across a wide range of referees, a lot of referees that are bad, can sink matches. If they're any good, they can help a bad match seem a little bit better. Who are some of the referees out there that you think are really good that people should use more often?
Well, I'd have to say you're obviously one of them. You and I go way back, like first match in back. So another one is the NWA BCW official Robbie K. That dude has so much energy when he's in there.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Officiating matches is something you have not yet accomplished in your career.
Actually, I have officiated one match, I think. One?
Aha.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
It was during a time when I think I was just taking like a small break from wrestling. And I think it was my dad against Eric Hansen, if I remember correctly, at BCW back in like 2014.
Now, how impartial could that be if you're officiating for your own father?
Actually, you know, I called it down the middle. I understood that I wasn't there to support my father. I obviously had a job to do, and I did it. But I ended up throwing the match out because, you know, it needed to be stopped.
Fair enough. Now, for the benefit of Jason Ayers at WWE, was your shirt tucked in?
I think it was.
Okay, that will cause him a little bit less chance of a stroke. At this point, QT Vokes is standing by. He has been anticipating this moment for months and months. So, Thez, help you as I hand things over to QT for a bit.
Oh, here we go.
Well, now, Sign Guy, I wouldn't say months and months. Maybe weeks and weeks. Yes. Now, Kane, I'd like to expand on Sign Guy's word association, if I may. How about Dash Venter?
Can you say that one more time?
How about Dash Venter?
Dash Venter.
Yes.
I'd have to say he's pretty chill.
Pretty chill, okay. Ice, okay. Well, I think he does have a lot of, use a lot of crushed ice in his drinks. Yes, okay. Tommy Celsius.
Tommy Celsius. A slap to the face.
A slap to the face. Okay. Lone Star.
Lone Star. Oh, that super kick, though.
Oh, super kick. Okay. How about the Goblin?
The Goblin. A match that needs to go down.
Wow. All right. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Kane, due to standard protocol, we are going to ask you the standard question, but in a slightly different format. What's the hardest knife edge chop you've received while wrestling at La Problemita's? And what's the hardest one you've received at Blue Collar Wrestling? And like Clemson and Alabama, whom have survived the first round of the playoffs, which one of your knife edge chops will be the overall winner?
Let's see. Poblanitas. Poblanitas. I think the hardest chop I received at Poblanitas was probably from my dad.
Oh, okay. All right.
But that's not saying much, though, because I think he was the only person that actually chopped me there. So.
Oh, okay.
As far as BCW, that's a rough one because a lot of hard chops there. It's kind of a toss-up between either C.J. Edwards or Aries Toretto.
Oh, Aries Toretto. Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's got some brutal chops. Don't let him chop you.
All right, which one wins? C.J. Edwards' knife edge chop or Aries Toretto in the championship bowl game?
I think I might have to go with CJ because I remember the first time CJ shot me, it felt like I got shot in the chest.
Wow. All right. Shot in the chest. Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Kane, a goal of many Northwest wrestlers is to make it on the Sign of the Times. Many wrestlers want to make it on simply to participate in the snaps. Some want to make it on to gaze in close-up wonderment of the many belts that are in the possession of Casey Carlisle. Still other wrestlers want to come on so they can answer a sign guy in record speed what he has coming up Monday and Tuesday. Now, you were in a Sign of the Times at La Problemita's in Bremerton, Washington, when you were involved in a Pepe Le Pew twerking incident. Can you describe what went through your mind during the said twerking moment, and did this trigger any PTSD symptoms that you may have suppressed from your time in Sadr City, Iraq, as a member of the 5th Armored Division, Platoon Company C?
There was definitely no PTSD. As far as what went through my mind, I honestly don't know. Like, that was a really awkward experience for me, I guess.
All right, okay, we'll just gloss over that. And okay, very good. Now, has your father, DeMarcus, ever been involved in a twerking incident?
Probably.
Oh, yes, okay. Probably at the off-ramp inn in Burnside? Okay. Well, boy, sign guy, do we have a bombing sound, a sound effect, like a bomb? Yes.
We do not, sadly enough. But I do have this.
Okay.
Ooh, cricket.
Oh, very nice. Okay. All right. Well, Kane, Big V captured this week's coveted number one Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestler rankings for his actions in the stepladder briefcase match at Blue Collar.
How was I not number one? I won by a little ladder at him.
Well, yes, you did apply the ladder to him, yes. But this leads to the controversy. Yes. We don't know who makes these rankings. Well, we have a pretty good idea. Yes. Now, there were many other wrestlers in this match, and indeed, many other matches that night. It seems like, once again, the fires of controversy have been stoked by our weekly rankings. In your opinion, is Big B's number one ranking justified?
Personally, I feel like maybe I should be number one. Just if we're based off last week, I mean, I threw a freaking ladder at him. That is my only argument to this.
That's true, and it connected, didn't it?
I mean, I guess Big V did really dominate that match for the most part. So
maybe
it is justified. Maybe it is.
Now, should Sign Guy be ranked higher for doing the Fargo strut by invitation of Gregor Petrov and Buddy Highway?
Wait, Sign Guy was ranked?
No, should Sign Guy be ranked higher for doing the Fargo strut?
I vote yes.
Okay, and Sign Guy, am I saying it right? Was it the Fargo strut?
It was the Fargo strut, and it got me a number four ranking.
Yes, it was number four, yes. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Kane, young Northwest wrestler Dominic Hess received very high praise from Roddy Piper at Portland Wrestling Uncut, when Roddy Piper told the crowd that he had done a very good job despite having limited experience at the referee position. This happened about, I believe, four summers ago or five summers ago. I think it was five. Do you yourself, have you yourself wrestled Dominic Hess, or do you plan to wrestle him pretty soon, and have you studied film of this young wrestler?
It's funny that you actually brought him up, because we are kind of at a dispute right now about, I believe, if I remember correctly, it is the 14th of this month that me and him are set to meet in NWWA's premier title tournament.
Oh, wow, the 14th of this month. Is that a Sunday?
No, that is a Saturday at the Milwaukee Elks Lodge.
Oh, okay. All right, Milwaukee Oaks Lodge. Hey, how many times have you wrestled at said Milwaukee Oaks Lodge?
I want to say three or four.
Oh, okay. Do they have a better condiment and snack bar than BCW? Because BCW does put out a mean chicken fried steak and mashed potato and gravy.
I don't think I'd be able to answer that, because I usually only just go to the snack bars to get the root beer, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Kane, you recently had a very high-speed match against Hayashi. Well, I want to say recently, it was last March 20th at Blue Collar Wrestling. This match was very fast-paced in action. If it were a track and field event, it would be the 400-meter race with the fastest woman running it in about 48 seconds. My question is,
woman.
Yes, that's about the world record in the 400 meters, right around 48 seconds. Jarmila Karachatova of Czechoslovakia back in 1983. Jarmila Karachatova, yes. Why did this world record stick with me? I am a track and field savant. Yes, I know a lot of the records.
Okay.
Yes. She also ran a 153.800 meters, which is two laps around the track. Yes, Jarmila Karachatova.
That is something I could not do if I tried.
Oh, okay. Hey, and the men's record is like 43 seconds for the 400 meters. Yes. Oh, okay.
I couldn't take that either.
Could you ride your bike that fast downhill around a track? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, if I'm going downhill, well, unless I have to go back up the hill.
Now, is it true that you have like a Pee Wee Herman type bike, a special Pee Wee Herman bike?
No.
Style. Oh, well, there's nothing wrong in owning a bike like Pee Wee Herman. That'd be great. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, my question is, was this the first time you had wrestled Hayashi, and can you see him as a future tag team partner?
That was the first and only time I've actually wrestled Hayashi. And as far as a tag partner, I'm not really looking for any other tag partners. I mean, me and Arius have been killing it. Not only were we the most popular tag team of the year at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, we were also tag team of the year in general.
Wow, all right, okay. In your opinion, would a tag team comprising of Hayashi and Paul Moonshine be one of the top contenders for tag team gold in BCW?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, Hayashi and Paul Moonshine, all right. Slightly different styles of wrestling and speed, I would think. Yes. Okay. All right, well, Kane, after months of complaining, Bob Hardy finally got his coveted Turnbuckle Turmoil fruit pie. My question have you ever rode to BCW with Bob Hardy while he was bemoaning his lack of fruit pies from Turnbuckle liaison QT Boats?
I've rode with Bob to BCW while he has been ranting about many various things, but I do not remember anything about this said pie.
Oh, all right. Nothing about the pies. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Kane, two fans in Blue Collar Wrestling have recently had a feud outside the ring. We're talking about Northwest Wrestling icon El Ringo Tortuga and BCW stalwart Marion. Marion recently swiped El Ringo Tortuga's beetle-like wig and stuffed it down her pants. And this week, El Ringo snuck up on Marion and threatened her with a steel chair, only to have Marion stalk him while walking around most of the BCW venue, only to pull his hair. Have you heard of this ongoing feud that has BCW security on edge?
No. This is completely new to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she stuffed El Ringo Tortuga's wig down her pants. Yes, he's never got it back. Yes, okay.
Oh, my.
All right. Well, Kane, should Gregor Petrov have been ranked higher in this week's Turnbuckle Terminal rankings due to his rather limited ring wear?
Should he be ranked higher for the ring gear?
For his ring wear, yes. Yes.
No. I don't think ring attire should equate to ratings. But no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Kane, we recently had on a wrestler who we made aware of the hauntings of Civil War Battlefield Gettysburg in northeastern Pennsylvania. Now, drums and fifes can be heard at sunset, along with a boom of artillery cannon. In 70 years, what will the ghosts of the North Portland Eagles that have been torn down by them whisper about Kane Jaden? What will the ghosts whisper?
The ghost will simply whisper, hashtag dabs and bar tabs.
Oh, wow. Okay, bar tabs. Okay, very good. All right. All right, well, Kane, did you know it's Laren Golden Songbird Amos's birthday today?
I did not. Happy birthday.
Okay. Now, would you like, for the first time ever, on Turnbuckle Turmoil / Sign Guys Wrestling Show, sing to Laren Golden Songbird Amos a quick version of Happy Birthday. Would you like to do that?
Maybe I'll just send her a message. my vocals are not. My vocals are not on par.
Oh, your vocals are not quite on par, like Robert Plant's.
Yes, he would kill it at this. Me, on the other hand, not so much.
All right, how about the vocals of Snoop Dogg? Would he kill it?
I think Snoop could kill it.
Could you see Snoop Dogg singing Happy Birthday to Laron Golden Songbird Amos, Snoop Dogg?
I would pay good money to see that. That sounds amazing.
Pay good money, yes. Okay, very, very good. Okay. All right, well, Kane, how do you like Buddy Highway's body transformation to slim powerlifter and his improved health on his diabetes?
Dude, he's killing it. Like, I got to give the man props, you know? He set his mind to this, and he set out to do it, and he's achieving great things, and I'm proud of the big guy.
Okay, very good. All right. And my next question or observation was, many Northwest wrestlers have been compared to this in many Simpsons characters. Most recently, Nelson was compared to Gregor Petrov. Yes.
What?
Many wrestlers have been compared to Simpson characters subliminally. Nelson was recently compared with Gregor Petrov because of that. Yes. Now,
I
you
have
yourself.
No words.
You yourself, now, and this is a very high compliment, were recently compared with Ralph Wiggum's, Chief Wiggum's son. Very high compliment. Yes.
That's a high compliment?
Yes, yes it is. Inside
Didn't
of Ralph
you say that
Wiggum.
Again?
What's that? What's that?
Oh my God.
Yes, Ralph Wiggum's. In first appearance and first impressions, it seems like Ralph Wiggum's is slightly confused, dazed, and lives in a childlike world. But I've spoke to many blue-collar wrestling fans, and they agree that inside Ralph Wiggum's lies a raging beast with no mercy, cold as a Siberian winter. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I think, yes. Very good. Now, if a fan shows up in the next couple weeks with a Ralph Wiggum's sign, and indeed a Ralph Wiggum's cutout, will you take that as a compliment and not a bad?
I'd probably start laughing.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Okay. I will get together with Tex Thompson and see if I can bring said 6-foot cutout of Ralph Wiggum's and hopefully have you autograph this 6-foot cutout. That'd be a very high honor.
You're going to make the thing taller than me?
Okay, 5'5". 5'5".
2 inches shorter. I love it.
Oh, this is just huge. This huge. I will have to protect this cutout from super fan Marion. Bob Hardy would pay huge money to see Marion stalk her way halfway around BCW's venue to attack El Ringo Tortuga's Ralph Wiggum sign. That'd be tragic.
I absolutely don't doubt that at all.
All right. Well, thank you for this. And right now I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy. And I would recommend that you do look up YouTube videos of the haunted battlefield of Gettysburg, where you can actually listen to Drummond Fife at sunset. Drummond Fife.
Huh.
Yes.
I will definitely have to look into this.
Very good. Okay. We like to mix history and battlefield history with this show. It's a good blend. Yes.
Yes.
Back to you, Sign Guy. Yes.
Thank you, QT. Well, Kane, one of the matches that took place already in 2017 has got a lot of people talking about it. It was Okada versus Kenny Omega from Wrestle Kingdom. Have you had a chance to see said match?
Yes. Yes, I did.
May we get the opinions of one Kane Jaden on said match?
Not that my opinion would matter on this, but, I mean, that match was incredible. Kenny Omega is somebody that I study, and I really like what he does and how he is, basically. And the match with Okada was just amazing. And can we just talk about the dragon suplex off the top rope? Because that, like, no. I don't blame Okada for thinking he was going to die in that match, because I thought he was going to die in that match.
Now, speaking of that, many a times I thought you were going to die in a match. Luckily, you have not, and I would prefer it stay that way. But
what are these, some of these times? I'm interested to hear this.
There's been multiple times where I thought you were possibly dead. Let's say, for an example, you took a suplex over the top rope just this past Sunday, which made me cringe for your ankles. Let's see. There's the time you may have had a slight concussion in a match. You were a little bit groggy. There was that time. Many a time on a German suplex.
Oh, those nasty German suplexes.
Yeah. Yeah, many a time, though. But luckily, you have not died, and as long as we can keep it that way. Now, Dave Meltzer gave that Okada Omega match 6 stars, which is 10¾ stars less than my classic match teaming with Killer Clown against Jonathan Wolfe and Sean Kemp in Indianapolis, Indiana several years ago. It made Brian Alvarez weep with joy, and Hacksaw Duggan tweet about it. Do you think 6 stars from Dave Meltzer on the initial viewing of the match is accurate?
I would have to say yes. I do agree with the accuracy of this rating.
All right. Now, do you think that 18⅔ star for my match teaming with Killer Clown against Wolf and Kemp, was that high enough, or do you think we should have got more stars?
I think you should have got less stars. That's a lot. Like, I don't even know how you got that many. 18½.
Dave Meltzer actually ran out of stars to assign it. Brian Alvarez wept at its magnificence, while Wade Keller had no words.
I have no words myself.
It was an amazing match. Now, we've got just a few minutes left on the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners at all, plug and promote anything and everything, your upcoming appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite Italian restaurant, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
As far as plugging things, I have a list, and I'm about to read it. So get them ear holes ready, people. Starting off with my Twitter account, @KaneJaden. We'll transfer over to the Instagram account, also @KaneJaden. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, also KaneJaden. On Facebook, there's quite a few that you should look for. Don't forget to look for KaneJaden, Aries Toretto, and Role Models Worship Us. My Xbox Live account is KaneJaden, just in case you want to get wrecked in some WWE 2K17, because I will dish out them L's. Snapchat, @weirdkid_KJ. Booking info, message me on Facebook @KaneJaden, or email me, KaneJaden@gmail.com. Yeah.
That was a lot of ways to follow you.
You're damn right it is.
Just very good.
And then upcoming shows, I know Sunday there's the big show there, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, and you mentioned the 14th. You'll be at NWWA. Anything else going on this month?
Oh, yes, actually. I will be at every BCW show this month, which consists, you know, every Sunday. So just show up for one of those, I guess. The 21st is a tag match between Dominic Hess and Sonico against the team of myself and Phoenix Kid, or as he referred to our team as, the Candy-Coated Chocolate Express. I don't know why he chose that name.
They do weird things in Alaska.
Apparently. I would know nothing about Alaska, but you have experience in Alaska.
I do have experience in Alaska where they paid me in beer and strippers. It was great.
What?
It was great.
They paid you in beer and strippers?
Yes, they did.
Steingeist is very comfortable with G strings.
You know, that's how they pay. That's how they pay. Well, you know, obviously you won't be able to take that booking for a while, but I will see you on Sunday afternoon. NWA World Heavyweight Champion Tim Storm will be at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, from what I understand. So it should be a big time. Anytime the world title is in your building, that makes it a big event. And I will see you next Thursday at the Cody Rhodes Seminar, because apparently I was told to get down to the Cody Rhodes Seminar, and who am I to doubt Jason Ayers?
Well, it's Cody freaking Rhodes, dude. Like, I purchased my ticket as soon as I saw that, like, the seminar was a thing.
Absolutely. So I will see you at NWA Blue Collar. I'll see you at the seminar, I'm sure, plenty of times after that. So I want to thank you for being on the show today. It was a pleasure having you. Hopefully this will be the first of many appearances for you. And fans, we will return Sunday afternoon. We have the aforementioned NWA World Champion Tim Storm's tag team partner as our guest, Adam A-Pac Lone Star Asher. He will be with us. Should be an outstanding afternoon. Be safe in the weather. If you're going to a wrestling show, make sure you get there safely. Enjoy the matches, and we will talk to you Sunday afternoon.
Once a man is glad, you smoke like your grandmother. To underneath your nose, and there's no end to you. A shot of fireball would return to true.